Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Hard to believe anybody had a better weekend than Hugh Freeze. But we hope you had a good weekend as we welcome you into another week. And the week of the start of football practice. I mean, there's an awful lot to talk about. We're not going to spend 2 hours talking about the Olympics, but we can talk some about them. I don't know if anybody has... I don't know how much anybody has watched. We've watched a good bit. My wife really likes gymnastics. I like to watch swimming. So, I mean, yeah. There's been a lot of that on. And watched. So that was an unusual opening ceremony.
I liked the river. I sort of thought it was cool.
Well, like I said, it was unusual.
It was very, very French. It was very French.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that.
It was very French.
I thought, and then at the end, I thought Celine.
What a comeback.
Unbelievable.
What a comeback for
my goodness.
That's her first live performance
in 4 years.
In 4 years. And she's dealt with some very serious health problems.
Very serious.
She's dealt with the kind of health problems that, like, get named after you. Because they're very unusual.
Well, with stiff person syndrome, I watched, as a matter of fact, after that, I watched the Celine special.
You could call that Celine Dion disease, right? I don't know too much about stiff person syndrome.
I had not heard anything about it.
It sounds terrible. Horrible.
It does. If you've ever had a cramp, imagine full body cramping
all the time.
All the time.
All the time. No. So anyway, you're right. I'm glad you mentioned that Celine Dion.
She was fabulous.
A triumphant return to form for one of the great living singers.
Yeah, no question.
That we have, and she was just up there on the. You know, with what a backdrop and what a song
it's
one of those moments.
My wife was saying, the hairs on her arms were standing.
And we've had moments like that in Olympics, opening ceremonies or closing ceremonies where they can just really, you can leave you in awe. And I think that was one of those moments. And I really liked the visual of the boats. I thought that was
It was. Like I said, it was very unusual. It's not what not what you'd gotten used to seeing. It was sort of cool. It's a shame it was raining.
And three Auburn athletes to single out in particular would be Suni Lee, obviously.
She was great.
Who's going to have a chance? I believe
she's got a chance. She's in.
This is the first
the all around the bar and the beans.
I think this is the first time ever that two Americans who have won all around are both competing for a second. I don't know if it's ever.
It is the first time in Olympics history that there have been two former all around champions competing for another all around.
Because generally speaking, someone would in Simone Biles' position.
Means somebody's in their third Olympics.
Yes,
and that's unusual.
She would have either won her second one as defending champion 4 years ago, or she would have aged out of competition by now. It's an amazing story that she is still in contention and the favorite to win the all-around, although reigning champion Suni Lee is right behind her and I think could be a real threat. Suni's uneven bars performance
was fabulous.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Justin Lee's done a lot of writing about Suni's sort of journey from the depths of her health problems and her despair into this really amazing return to form, and maybe it leads to another another gold medal at some point during these Olympics. Team USA seems gonna like they're gonna be a really tough out with the way the girls are performing on that team.
Yeah. So we
JT Thor also worth singling.
JT Thor is the 11th.
You got what
Auburn participant.
South Sudan will right. play Team USA in the next game. JT Thor has had a you know I don't know if anybody. It's hard to imagine there's been someone who has helped themselves more as an NBA free agent through these international couple of weeks than JT Thor, playing as well as he
probably
did.
Probably not.
Playing as well as he did in the Team USA game, and now he'll get another crack at... I mean, you're every GM in the league has to be watching and thinking, you know, if this guy can score consistently on Adebayo and Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid... Of course we have to at least consider bringing him in and seeing what he could lead to. And he's also, 23? He's still young. Is he 23?
No, I don't think he's turned 23 yet. He's 22.
It's not like this is somebody who is ready to go to the scrap heap necessarily from an age standpoint. And with somebody who is new to the sport, and he reclassified, didn't he? I want to say that's right, too.
Thor will be 22.
That's amazing.
At the end of August.
It feels like he played at
22.
Auburn.
So he is answer, 21 years old.
So the answer to the question, is he 23, is decidedly...
Not for another year plus.
Decidedly no. And for him to be playing like that and playing as well as he did in the first game against Team USA, and there is a... Drew, you can tell... When is Team USA versus South Sudan? Can you find out when exactly that game is, because that's one of the big draws, I imagine, of these first couple of days of the Olympics, especially if you're checking on Auburn athletes in the games. And then Valerie Tazeri was the flag bearer for Palestine, and she's the former Auburn swimmer who's going to be competing in a couple of events. I believe she's 200 meter. Individual medley is her sport, but she's one of the Auburn swimming and diving alums that are competing in these games. She was the flag bearer for Palestine during the boat parade, and she'll be competing in her events in the next couple of days.
So there is our Olympics report to start the show.
Two p.m. Wednesday is Team USA versus South Sudan. Okay, right. So we'll have that game is coming up the next couple of days.
Don't imagine many people that tuned in expected us to wait until close to 4:10 to really get into what turned out to be an amazing weekend. And we have Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com with us as usual on Monday. Couldn't have you at a better time, Brian. You were busy on Saturday. Auburn was extremely busy as of right now, and things are very likely to change within the next couple of hours.
Yes.
7 commitments since Saturday morning.
Absolutely out of this world. Great weekend for Auburn, and I think that's going to continue as this week goes on into the next week or so. But, they got, 5? Or 6 on Saturday.
Five on Saturday. Saturday right. One, the punter, one I guess, Sunday. Kicker Sunday, and then flipping Derek Smith today.
And then we got Anquan Fagans, the very highly touted safety from Thompson High School, announcing at 6 p.m. at least. His press conference is supposed to begin at 6.
Right. So it'll be sometime after 6.
Yeah, probably closer to 6:20, 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Jared Smith, his teammate at Thompson, will be announcing this Saturday his decision. I think Auburn is the team to beat for both those guys. And there are several more that I'm expecting to come down the pipe here in the coming days. I think maybe the most interesting one to watch is Naheem Offord, the number one player in the state. I think he's the number one quarterback in the country.
He's
from Parker in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. He is an absolute superstar. I think he's a day one starter at corner, and maybe your day one starter as your punt returner, too. That's how athletic he is. And, being committed to Ohio State for a little while, but he was at Big Cat, and he's certainly one to keep a close eye on. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn, I mean, Hugh Freeze has talked about really focusing on the state of Alabama, and they're just tearing it up in the state of Alabama. I mean, because the 3 2026 commits – are all very, very highly rated players, all from in-state.
And Auburn now has the number one 2026 class in the country. And I think they're close to getting some more commits in that class, too. Anthony Tank Jones was here. I talked to him, did a story on him. He's the number one player in the 26th class in the state of Alabama. I think Auburn is the team to beat right now, and I think he's one to keep an eye on. And then you got Sadarian Morgan, a wide receiver from over there at Alex City. I think Auburn is I think Auburn's probably the team to beat for him. So you could have some movement there. And Auburn's got a five-star quarterback in the 26th class on campus right now. So that ought to tell you a little bit about how things are going with Auburn recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, we'll run down the all the commits. Auburn up to
ninth in our rankings. I'm not sure about everybody else.
Well, I saw in the composite ones, it's seventh.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's top 10 in everyone.
They were 18th in our ranking before the start of Big Cat.
Right. They were in everybody's teen. They were in the teens between 15 and 20 in every ranking.
Smith.
And now they're in the top 10.
Yeah, and I think they're going to the top.
And they're
going to
go and they're going to move on
good,
up. Yes.
That's how good I think they're this next week or two is going to go and there's somebody I'm not going to mention also that they may end up flipping too. So
Smith, Coleman, and Woodby are three of the top seven commitments in the class for 2025.
And all three of those are flips.
They're flips.
Of course, Antonio Coleman is a reflip.
Yeah.
Reflip.
Well, he's reflipped to Auburn because he flipped to Auburn, then flipped back to Alabama, and now has reflipped to Auburn. I thought the most telling thing, though, was that neither he nor Derek Smith showed up at Alabama's
champions
cookout or barbecue or whatever yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's an album that he went to the A side, Bill.
So to speak.
He played the A side, and then he played the B side.
And he replayed both sides.
Now he's back. Now he's back on the A side. But no, three flips and three recent commitments, too, right, Bill? Those are three guys who committed to Auburn in the last week or so in Woodby, Coleman, and
They're all three from Saturday on. Yeah,
so a total of seven commitments now coming out of Big Cat.
How about
four in the 25 class? Three in the 26 class.
Yep. And they add. We mentioned that yesterday.
We didn't mention the punter either.
We just mentioned, but the younger brother of Evan McGuire, who was a walk-on here at Auburn.
He was. And John is the number two punter in the country, according to Cole's Kicking Camp, who is a long tradition history of special teams player and always does a great job. So I just think Auburn has always excelled, regardless of coach, on special teams as far as getting kickers and punters. So I just think he's the next in line, you know?
Well, it's got a perfect opportunity for him. Oscar Chapman's a senior this year.
Exactly.
And then he has the opportunity to step in and be a, three or four-year starter.
Yep, and just continue that line, continue that tradition.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of excitement there as Auburn getting ready. Practice starts Thursday morning.
Yes.
And
we will be there.
Yep, we will, and have an opportunity to watch the first, couple of times the first week, and then opportunities thereafter as well. So really looking forward to that. All right, we're just getting underway here on the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian, Matthews, we have Drew here at the controls. Love for you to join in, and you can do so by calling the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
We're right back. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
Hey, this is Rob from University Ace Hardware. I've been with Ace for about 2 years. I'm a retired
maintenance at The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Brian, just talk a little bit about, the way it was with so many. I mean, this is probably the largest group of high-profile players Auburn's ever had for a Big Cat.
Yes.
And
I'd say so.
And they seemed like everybody had a great time. I mean, obviously, when you get seven commits out of it. But, I mean, Auburn had 15 of their 16 commits in, and that obviously helps as they're trying to build something special for the future.
Yeah, it's big to have those guys here to help recruit and help build those relationships. I think Auburn did a great job getting a bunch of family members of these kids here. I saw a bunch of moms and dads and little sisters and brothers and cousins and grandparents, you know, along for the trip too. And I just think the staff has finally got Auburn back where, okay, Auburn's at, what, 19 commitments now? We think there'll be 20, or is it 20
It's
now?
20 now.
It's 20 now. They could be at 25-ish within the next week or 10 days or so.
Yeah, and I saw some people going, well, gee, is that going to be a problem? Well, no, because something else we talked about a little bit Thursday and Friday.
105.
Yeah, I mean, it's 85. Well, the thing is, you don't have to worry about the 25. You haven't had to worry about that. That passed last year, that all you had to be concerned with is the 85. Auburn has more than 25 seniors on the roster for this year. So, I mean, you weren't going to have to be worried about that. You're going to lose some players. There's going to be some attrition. But now, yes, we're going past 85. We're going to 105. It'll be really interesting, Brian. It's hard for me to imagine the SEC isn't going to say, okay, yeah, you can go to 105. I think it's going to be conference to conference.
Right.
Since every sport is now going to be an equivalency, yes. You may not have as many scholarships as your roster, but we know what the roster limit is, and you can have up to that many if the conference approves it.
It'll be interesting to see exactly how teams do it because, you know, you can't sign a team of all Rivals 100, five stars, top guys, have 105 of those guys on campus. You'll have a lot of unhappiness. You'll have everybody transferring out. You know, that's just not going to work. So you got to be smart about it.
But you're also not going to see them go out and just give scholarships to 20 guys who might have wanted to walk on and try to earn their way on either.
No, you're not.
So, I mean, it is going to impact what we have known forever about those feel-good stories about walk-ons.
Yeah, that's going to change. That's true. So that's just part of college football today. Talking about the class overall. So, you know, I think Auburn's going up, right, with numbers-wise.
Because
this starts for the 25-26 season. So this 25 class of recruiting right now is the class. But I think what Auburn's done now, where they've got the – and by the time we get to the August 31st first game, they're going to have the majority of their class committed, right? They're going to have 25 or so guys in this class already. That's what Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, and those teams have every year.
Oh, yeah, they have. And then there's a spot or two that they're only having to try to get one or two more guys while they're recruiting the next year's class and the year beyond.
They can spend that fall. They can spend a good portion of November, December on those 26 and 27 and 28 kids and get ahead in that class. And it just keeps building on one another. So this is where Auburn needed to be. It took you, Freeze, what, about 18 months to get here?
Amazing. It's amazing he's been able to do it this quickly.
Yeah, but
I had very little – I mean, there was a little doubt because he hadn't been doing it in the SEC for a couple of years. But I felt there was a pretty good chance that Hugh Freeze understood and would be able to do a good job. I had no idea that it could get done this quickly.
It's, you know, for somebody who's covered Auburn for a long time, went to Auburn, graduated from Auburn in the 80s when Auburn was so, so good. You know, I can remember when I was a student here – seeing on ESPN or wherever, you know, that Auburn had the most players in the NFL and all this stuff, right? I can remember those days. I can remember Auburn winning, was it three or four straight SEC championships?
Parts of four, it was, yeah.
Parts of four, yeah. And, you know, I was here for the first time ever. I was a student then. So I have seen Auburn at the very top. You know, I was covering the team in 2010, of course, when they won the national championship. But I don't think I've ever seen recruiting quite like this sustained, you know what I'm saying? Just keeping it going the way Hugh Freeze is doing it right now. And the closest
thing to it would be 82-83.
Right.
After Coach, about this point with Coach Dye.
Yep.
When he came in and had just back-to-back just ridiculous classes.
Yeah. And it was hard to quantify those because back then you didn't have this.
Right.
Type of coverage.
You had some coverage. But there wasn't much national coverage on it. I mean, you'd have people that would go, oh, that's the top player in this state, and that's the top player in that state. But there wasn't a whole lot of ranking them against each other and that type thing.
When I started in 2001, there were still the newsletters. There were still the 900 numbers.
Right.
There were still the magazines. I think that was still the major way people got and listening to sports radio too.
Absolutely.
With a major, that's how Auburn got people got their recruiting news, right? And it's obviously changed with the internet and changed and blown up really in a lot of ways.
No question about it. So yes, I mean, what was the final? What was the final number? Was it 50 something that were in?
I think that's right. I don't know the exact.
I mean, I know that Caleb had the breakdown afterwards. All the numbers and everything of the commits, the 25s, the 26s, and on. So it's great to be able to look at all that and what a list. And I mean, really, I mean, Auburn has added tremendously to its class, got a great chance in about a couple of hours of adding another. Are there any other players that you know? All right, you mentioned Fagan's tonight, and then Jared Smith on Saturday. Is there anybody else that is set?
I don't know of any other scheduled announcements.
Okay.
With Auburn guys at the moment. I mean, that could change at any time, and I would not be surprised to see some things pop up out of the blue. I mean, there are a couple of guys that that could just, you know, surprise some people maybe. We'll just have to wait and see when that's going to happen.
It sounds like, I mean, Auburn doing its job to get back in on Tyler Lockhart.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
The Mississippi.
Definitely. He was here. So I don't know that he spoke after this visit, but yes, he was here.
Well, I think just the fact you look at who was here, and that gives you a very good good idea that Auburn's got a shot. If they were here, I think Auburn's got a shot at them.
Oh, that's never been more true than it is now. Never, ever been more true. And so, I've always felt like Auburn's best selling point is just getting kids to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
You add that on top of a head coach, a new freeze, and a staff that really cares and puts a lot of effort in recruiting. It just makes such a difference. It's incredible.
So I've got to follow that up with the obvious question after that is, but there wasn't a 25 quarterback on campus. But that doesn't, in my mind, that might not be the worst thing either, because you've got a couple of guys, the two guys that we know that Auburn has really been going after are committed elsewhere.
Right.
It might be actually more of a problem for them to have been here this weekend for their own sakes. I still think Auburn's got a shot at one of those guys.
Oh, I would think if you're interested or concerned about Auburn's quarterback recruiting in 25 class, I would say, you know, that you shouldn't be that concerned, that they're doing some things that maybe you're behind the scenes, they're doing some work. So, you know, I wouldn't melt down about that. I would be confident that Auburn's going to come up with a pretty good quarterback in this class at some point in the near future.
Well, I mean, I would think a lot of folks that were getting nervous last month because Auburn wasn't picking up commits, they've made up for that now. I'd rather go ahead and pop seven in a couple of days as you're getting ready for the start of camp than have had them spread out over the last 6 weeks and wondering, you know, are you going to be able to hang on to them?
Yep. And it's going to change next year because this time of year is not going to be
How about that? Big Cat's got to move.
They're going to have to. You know, I think it started out being around Memorial Day, if I remember
correctly. It was.
So it's going to have to go back to around then, which I kind of like it at the end of July. I think it's really effective to sort of put it at the very end of this recruiting period. But I think it can be effective at sort of the beginning of it too. So I'm sure they'll figure it out. The staff is so good at what they do.
I'm sure they will.
They will have a plan and they will execute it to its best.
334-321-1390. We'd love for you to join us if you have any questions for Brian about Auburn recruiting or the start of practice gets underway on Thursday. What are some of the things that you'd like to know? We'd love to hear from you, or if you've got some things you'd like us to be looking for or asking about.
We've contrasted the depth chart, you know, this year with with you think about where you were going into last year, right? Like a couple days before fall camp started last year, how many of those guys were new to the team on the two deep, all over the roster? This year, there are some positions where there's been a pretty drastic makeover. You know, there have been places like receiver and defensive line where there are a lot of players you expect to contribute who weren't on last year's team, but it's not all over the field like it was last season, right? You think about all the different spots, quarterback, tight end, offensive line, secondary, linebacker, like all these spots where so many of the key contributors were going to be guys who were new and in their first year. Receiver last year.
Heck, quarterback last year. Yeah. That's why the questions were, well, you know, how's Robbie doing? How's Peyton doing? Is it a two? Is it a three team? You know, what's...
This year, I think it's more about, I guess the most intriguing thing for me, and I wonder where Brian sits on this, would be like, I guess you can. And it's not really. They're all new to the team, but it's the veteran college football receivers, right? Unk and Lambert Smith and Sam Jackson against the incoming freshmen. The guys that and who's going to be contributing more? And I guess to mix and match of the veterans and the receivers, but like who's first up out there and who's going to be out there moving the needle in crucial moments?
Well, I'm very excited to watch the receivers.
Yeah.
I just think this is the most collection of talent at Auburn's had a receiver in quite a while, depth wise. And I think you're going to see Cam Coleman starting, and I think you're going to see Lambert Smith starting. So you're going to see both, in my opinion. I just think Cam Coleman is unstoppable. As a young man, right, as a person, as a guy who works his tail off, who has immense talent, who has everything you want in the future, you know.
Is he the best freshman receiver? Is he the best freshman receiver Auburn's brought in since you started doing this?
I would say yes.
Well, I mean, he's got to prove it first.
Sure, but if you had to say like
as far as
going into his first year, I think thinking about like, is there a freshman receiver you felt better about?
Really. I love that group with Obamano and Roma Shadu, and that group was a great group. But as just one guy, nothing pops out at me.
Who was the?
Schwartz and Williams. Coates. People like
who was the receiver from Mobile? There have been a couple of guys that had high expectations coming in, but I will say
people loved Tim Hawthorne, right? He was a big time recruit. until Cam and Perry, I think Hawthorne was the highest rated in state recruit Auburn had signed in a while.
Cam Coleman is probably Cam Coleman's the probably the most highly anticipated freshman. Or the highly anticipated new receiver that Auburn's had since Terry Beasley. I mean, I
Pedro Cherry, I remember in the 80s, was a big, high-profile kid.
But
and of course, Frankie Sanders was incredible, but he wasn't – I don't remember him being a big-time recruiter.
He was a good recruit, but he wasn't a super highly touted recruit.
But Auburn hasn't had another –
Duke wasn't a true freshman, right? Like Duke came in from junior college, so it wasn't the same thing. Duke Williams was highly anticipated, but not a true freshman. So it's like it's not the same thing as what you'd be talking about with guys like and people were so excited for Schwartz and Williams, knowing they could contribute a couple of years ago. Yeah. But it feels different with Cam Coleman and the kind of potential people think national recruiting folks, people who really wanted Cam Coleman to go to their team. Like it feels like a different sort of different sort of anticipation.
And he's paired with a coach that knows how to get the ball to big, athletic, fast outside receivers and put them in positions to make the kind of plays they can make to make differences in games. So I'm just excited to see that.
I'd love to open that up and see if some folks can jog my memory. I'm sure it's not perfect, but I can't recall any freshman coming in with as much anticipation as Cam Coleman since Terry Beasley, and that's over a half century ago.
Right, I'm thinking
since 55 years ago.
I thought it would be concerned
when he was coming out of high school.
Going with since Brian started following recruiting, I thought encompasses at least two, maybe three generations of Auburn football. And I don't know if it's close, as far as like...
I don't either.
Who would have... I mean, you're probably the class of Obamanu and Aroma Shadu, bringing those
Courtney
two
Taylor,
in. Courtney Taylor
too,
as well. Mix. yes. maybe is also in that in that group. Anthony Mix Senior, you know, would be in that group as well. But as you know, individual, and people are excited to see Perry and Bryce and Malcolm as well. It's not just Cam Coleman, but I would think that Cam Coleman would be.
Then you saw him in the A-Day game too. It's like you know, it's like everything he has done since the start of his senior year has just been like fabulous.
And he's not talking about himself either. He's not, you know, he's not gonna tell you how good he is, like some receivers will. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but if you want to talk about a freshman with his head on his shoulders, that's Cam Coleman.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. Love to hear from you as we continue here with the Monday Drive.
Live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews, Drew at the controls. All right, I was trying to think of DeeDee Green, DeAndre Green. That's been 25 years. And
things a couple of years, I think, maybe freshman, sophomore.
I mean, things didn't work out as well as people had hoped. But, I mean, Auburn has not signed that many, you know, highly, highly touted wide receivers.
They have not. You could pick out a highly touted player just about every position that Auburn signed in the last 20 or so years, but wide receiver wouldn't be in it, really.
So, I mean, this. But Dan's right. This crop of receivers, I've heard some really good things about Malcolm Simmons' summer workouts. Of course, you know, he and Perry Thompson weren't here in the spring, just two of the, I guess, four signees that weren't here during spring practice. So, I mean, Malcolm, extremely athletic. Perry is he's just a giant receiver.
He is. He looks like a linebacker.
He does.
So does Cam in a lot of ways, too. And I'm just excited to see what this offense can look like. I think the offensive line is going to be a little bit better, especially in pass pro. I think the offensive system will be improved. I think Peyton will be better. I think the running game is going to be better. I just you know, Rivaldo Fairweather has got another year in the system, SEC ball.
Rivaldo Fairweather has an opportunity where he's not the most targeted guy for the defense in the passing game,
which could make him a little bit more dangerous.
Oh, I think it'd make him a lot more.
Yeah, because you got to respect other parts of this offense where you didn't necessarily have to do that last year.
Yeah, it's really exciting just thinking about looking forward to it. And as we said, I mean, Coach Freeze is going to meet early Thursday with the media, and then we're going to get to watch summer practice.
Off and running.
Yeah. This is now, and again, we've talked about it over and over. I mean, this is one I would think that most times, normally, once you get your players, your system, and everything in, you probably don't want to start the season with five straight home games. This is not a bad year to be doing that when you're in your second year and you're trying to you know, make a step forward.
Yep, October's going to be tough, but there's a great chance Auburn starts off 4-0. And host Oklahoma for a really big home game, a special type home game where it's packed out. You got tailgaters, you got a huge, you know, Tiger Walk and all that. It just, you know.
It's the biggest home game of the year. I mean, it may not end up being the most important one, but I mean, on the schedule, on paper, there's no question. Yep. It is the marquee home game that Auburn has.
And that'll be Oklahoma's first big game away from home in the SEC.
Yeah, their first road SEC game.
And, you know, Auburn needs to give them a, you know, a old-school SEC welcome, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Tennessee, and they have Tennessee the week before. So they've got their former Heisman Trophy, I guess he was I don't remember if he was runner-up or he finished third, but Josh Heupel was there in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. He was at one of the finalists for the Heisman Trophy back in Oklahoma where Dan, I think we talked about this a little bit while you were at Media Days. It doesn't appear that there's a lot of love between Josh Heupel and Oklahoma.
No, I mean, I think there's interest. There are fans who still really appreciate what Heupel did as a player, and so there's going to be interest in what he's done there, and he's succeeded for the most part as a Tennessee coach. I think an up and down season this year would. would damage his standing some. Mm-hmm. I think they've gotten past the point in the rebuild where there are supposed to be, you know, big setbacks or, you know, years that make it seem like they're headed in the wrong direction. That's a really intriguing game, right? Legendary former Oklahoma player who had a turbulent tenure as Oklahoma coach before being let go, has now done some winning at the major conference level, and he brings his new program in to Oklahoma. That's a game that, you know, it's a really tough game for someone to lose, right? Tennessee starts conference play 0-1 against one of the newcomers to the SEC.
Got to be a very tough one for Oklahoma to lose, because they're thinking, all right, here's our first ever SEC game. They've got to prepare and win that. And then the next week, they come to Auburn.
Oklahoma, if you lose that one, not only did you lose your first SEC game at home, you lost it to him, right?
Right.
You lost it to Josh Heupel. And so, yeah, it's going to be a damaging loss for whoever has to drop that one. And that's one of the reasons, yeah, that's one of the really interesting games of week four. Because you've got you've got high stakes conference action to really, you know, get things going before September's over. And you're right, Oklahoma bounces back a week later and goes to Jordan-Hare. So it's like, I mean, that's all the more interesting. I want to see that's one of the games you got circled that week.
All right, 334-321-1390. We'd love for you to join us with the start of football practice coming up, coming in on Monday following Big Cat. Auburn continues to look to add to its commitment list. As we said, there is a ceremony this evening at 6 o'clock. Anquan Fagans, yep, outstanding safety prospect from Thompson. His brother Antoine is on the Auburn roster, Brian.
Yes, he is an invited walk-on that just transferred to Auburn. He'll be out there for fall camp here in a couple more days.
Yeah, so I mean, and most people have felt Auburn has been the leader for quite a while.
Yeah.
Man, the defensive additions here lately, just looking at Auburn's commitments. Man. DJ Durkin
Freeze. Maybe DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just some absolute studs on that side of the ball. I mean, the 326 kids they got, I mean,
an edge and two linebackers, right?
Yeah, and I can remember Auburn building a class around maybe one of those guys, and they just
had three
of them. I mean, these guys are guys that you're going to love to watch play. They're fast. They're quick. They can attack the quarterback, attack the line of scrimmage. They got terrific frames. I mean, just Hezzy Harris, Jamichael Garrett, Shedarius Tootle, they're all just playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, and it seems like DJ Durkin just keeps adding players like them over and over again. I just cannot wait to see what this defense is going to become.
Yeah, and then you got two of them are from Auburn's doing some work in the Mobile area as well. You got a McGill Tootle and a Gulf Shores.
Yes, yes, terrific. Just in state overall, right? I think Auburn gets Fagans tonight. They get Jared Smith Saturday. I think that would be eight of the
top. That'd be eight of the top 10 players in the state, and the other two are committed to Ohio State.
Yeah, and you know
that's unbelievable.
It really is.
Auburn's got a shot. Don't count both of those guys. By the way, were in town at Big Cat on Saturday as well. Both those Ohio State commits.
Naheem Offord was, yes.
Was Zion Grady not? I thought he might have been too.
Oh yeah, he was there too. Yes, you're right. Yeah,
yeah. So
although
Auburn has really done a great job of adding edges.
Yes, I have.
Somebody the other day, I saw a post, somebody the other day said, you know, what do we need with all these edges? You can't, have you looked out there the last few years?
It's been a struggle.
It's like, is there an edge? Can you find an edge? You can't have too many of those guys. Yep. You can't have too many great pass rushers.
And
there's no such thing.
If you look at Durkin's defense, I think he wants to put a bunch of these guys in the game. I think he wants those type of guys at Mike linebacker and Willie linebacker and defensive end so they can attack the line of scrimmage from different angles and different areas and different parts of the field. And I just think that's part of his the way he likes to run the defense, and I think it's going to be really exciting to see that.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Jerry is up first. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I was just curious – what positions are are the new recruits?
Sure. Most of these guys have been defensive guys.
I'll go through them. Blake Woodby is the number four cornerback in the country. He's a cornerback who probably could play some nickel too, I think. I think he has the physicality. Maybe needs to put on a little bit more bulk, but in a couple of years could be a good nickel too.
And he's out of Baltimore.
He is. Antonio Coleman from
Saraland,
yes. He is a playmaking defensive tackle, one of those guys that can get tackles behind the line of scrimmage, pressure the quarterback from the three tech type position.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how much bigger and bulkier and
get. He's what, about 280 something now?
Yeah. I think that's probably going to be his position. John McGuire, of course, is a punter, but can also kick. And then Derek Smith, he's listed as an athlete. He is going to play receiver at Auburn, I believe.
Yeah, he's been fabulous on both sides of the ball at Southside Selma. Alabama had looked at him more as a safety. Auburn loves him as a receiver.
Yep. He's another guy over 6 foot that can be one of those outside guys. And then Fagan tonight is definitely a safety all the way. That's his position that he's played in high school. That's the position Auburn's recruiting him for. And I think he's probably got his potential to play right away. Jarrett Smith. We have him listed as outside linebacker.
He's an edge. I think he's an edge defensive end.
Yeah, I that's what I think, too. I think he has the frame. When you look at him in person, that he can become like a 265, 270.
Yep.
You've seen what Keldrick Falk has done over the past year, right? How big he is
now. Yeah, because he's 6'5", 6'6", every bit of it.
Yep. So he'll be one to watch to see how much he develops. Tyler Lockhart. He's just the guy. He's not committed right
now. Yeah, he's a guy that had been committed and backed off but was back in. Now, I guess we mentioned that the 326 guys
are
all defensive players with Harris, an edge, the other two linebackers.
Yeah,
right?
I think Hezzy Harris is going to be an edge rusher type guy. And I think Jamichael Garrett and Shedarius Tootle could be those type guys. But I think they'll be
they're good size linebackers. Yeah,
inside linebackers. You know, just wherever they can fit in.
Anything else, Jerry?
Well, that's great info. What about offensive linemen?
They've got five.
They already have five that have been committed out of the 16 that were committed going into the weekend, and all but one were at Big Cat this past weekend.
Good information. I appreciate it.
All right, Jerry, thanks for the call.
Yeah, they're still looking for maybe one more tackle body.
Mm-hmm.
The kid from
– can't have too many of those either.
The kid that's – it's Auburn and Stanford for one of them. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's one of their top guys they're after. But they would like at least one more offensive lineman, obviously quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Some more DBs, or obviously after safety tonight.
I would say another receiver.
Yeah, definitely another receiver. Sam Turner, the Georgia Tech commit, was here. I talked to him. That story's on auburnsports.com. And I got the feeling talking to him that Auburn was probably had a real better than 50-50 chance of flipping him.
All right, we'll get to our final break here of hour number one. Plenty of time for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com. While we got a couple of minutes here, Brian, let's talk a little bit about one of the things that we always look forward to and want to get you to talk about. That's your Monday musings. You had plenty to muse about today, and then always fun with the musical musings as well.
Yeah, I just talked about what a great job they did at Big Cat and how it probably is. And I feel this way, that it's the best Big Cat that we've experienced so far. I think this is the 15th.
And that's saying something because some early on were pretty darn productive.
But if you look back at those, the original ones were like, we're only taking our top guys. They'd only bring in like 20.
Yeah. Oh, if you had over 20, it was a surprise.
Yeah. So it was a little bit different now.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked great then. Those guys were innovators, and it was tremendous, and it really started a whole thing of other schools.
A different way of enticing play. Yeah. something other than just standard official visits. Then, of course, today you get into, man, it's hard to believe, 57 years.
I know.
From The Doors Light My Fire.
And with the movie and all the, you know, the stuff with The Doors.
Val Kilmer looked just like Jim Morrison.
Yeah, he did. And that movie's probably, how old is that movie now?
Probably 35 years.
That's unbelievable. Like that. I was thinking it's got to be approaching 40.
That's unbelievable. I would think late 80s.
Yeah. 80, late 80s is 35 years, wow. Yeah.
89, 90,
what I happened? Guess. Yeah. I don't understand what happened. But, yeah, I enjoyed writing about The Doors. I wish I could have spent more time, but it was a really busy weekend, so I did my best.
Yeah, no kidding. No, that's some great stuff. And, of course, as always, it's brought to you by one of our favorites and your sponsor,
the delicious Uncle Keith's. Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, the best Southern-style salsa that you will ever try, I guarantee it. Home. It's made and it's from the state of Alabama, right here in Auburn, and you can get it statewide at Publix, at Piggly Wiggly, at Renfro's. You can order online and use the discount code BMAT15 to get 15% off, and it is absolutely something if you're planning to tailgate, you know, this fall or plan some family get-togethers. It's just great to have a jar or two.
Oh, it's great to have a jar. I mean, we were watching some Olympics the other night.
Yes.
It's like open the newest jar. So
absolutely.
Yeah, great stuff. All right, we are halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Love for you to join in. Stick with us.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Monday Drive. A nice looking day. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Here in the studio with Drew running the controls. We'd love for you to join in. We spent a good bit of time in hour number one, and I'm sure we will do more. Just talking about this past weekend, Big Cat on Saturday, a rousing success. Brian, I mean...
I think that's the perfect way to... It was. It was absolutely incredible.
You know, there were some... You know, folks were wondering what was going on. Auburn hadn't got a lot of commitments. I know on Thursday, I was saying, well, I hope the weather holds up. And it did.
It did.
And I don't know how much that would have deterred anything, but you couldn't have asked for really thus far anything better to have come out. 7 commits thus far from the players that were in, 4 for 25, 3 for 2026. Yep. Mm-hmm. I got another one expected in about an hour.
Yep. How about that?
I mean, it's just that is just fabulous. Auburn has moved up tremendously in the recruiting rankings. They're not done. I mean, other teams aren't either. There will be more commitments elsewhere. But one of the things, and we didn't get into this in much detail, but I mean, the work that Hugh Freeze and his staff have done in the state of Alabama is just phenomenal. And I mean, it has come at a time when Alabama's making a coaching change. Yep. And look, Alabama, you look at the top of the national recruiting rankings, Alabama's right up there. They're still number one or number two, depending on where you're looking. But they have more commitments from the state of California than they do from the state of Alabama. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Doug Amos asked me about that a little earlier today, and I gave him a nice PC answer. It's like, you want to get the best players.
Sure.
No question, you want to get the best players. But you had better not let the best players in your backyard go, especially to your rival.
I want the best players in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and surrounding states, and then pick and choose some guys.
Sure.
Sort of the
way you talk about with the transfer portal.
Yep.
You know, you wanna have those guys that you feel like can be the foundation. And I said this earlier and got a, well, in the with the days of the transfer portal, if you don't play, anybody can leave. But I think it's more likely that guys will stick a little longer if they're from closer to home.
I do too. And I think Auburn can thrive from loading up their recruiting classes, especially with Alabama and Georgia players. Absolutely. I've covered recruiting in the state for a long time. And usually the very best Auburn could do was to split the state.
That's right. I mean, in the best years of Coach Dye,
yes,
Auburn might get 6 of the top 10.
Yep.
And that's about as good as you could ever expect. Yep. Right now, Auburn has 6 of the top 10. 2 are committed to Ohio State, and the other 2 are uncommitted and appear to be headed to Auburn.
Yep. Fagans and Smith could be headed to Auburn with, you know, Fagans today, Smith Saturday. Naheem Offord is one to watch very closely. I feel like he was at Big Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, who knows? Zion Grady he's interesting to me. You know, he told us there was a very good chance, a group of us, not just me, that he could flip from Ohio State. And then he came out that night saying it was misunderstanding, blah, blah, blah. So, you know.
Right.
And I've kind of felt talking to him that maybe he had overstated things, or maybe it just got away from him a little bit.
So caught up in just all the other. I mean, that can happen.
It can. But even if he does stick with those Ohio State pledges, it's just an incredible haul for Auburn and State. And Eric Winters is a guy that nobody seems to talk about. But
man, that's a guy Auburn really. I mean, I saw him as a sophomore and thought this guy's a really good looking senior. And it turns out he was a sophomore.
Yeah. He is so big and athletic, and he's also got some Cam Coleman in him as far as the leadership, the maturity for somebody his age, that type stuff. I just think he's going to be a special player at Auburn, and he's a guy that people aren't talking enough about, I feel like.
Well, sometimes players get into the, you know, they commit, they're on the list, and they sort of get overlooked.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're already committed to a school, you don't follow them as closely from that point on. And I'm not talking you or me, but I'm talking, you know, sometimes fans, sometimes services. The guy's already locked in, and it's like, okay, you look at the players that look like they're going to flip or haven't committed anywhere yet.
Yeah, it's always what's next, right?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like presents, you know, at Christmas, you open one. If you open that's why as a parent, you sort of want to save at least one special one for the end.
Oh yeah.
You know, you don't want all the best ones. It's like, wait, don't open that one yet. You know, I don't know that you can do that always.
Well, back in the day, we would put all the, you know, the ones to save for last in the gold wrapping paper.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what I would do is I'd put it either up in the tree or around the corner or something like that, so there'd be a special one. Yeah.
Wait a minute, folks.
When you think everything's
it's not over
done,
yet.
Yeah. No, it's the BB gun. No, it's like, but yeah, I think, you know, Kalen DeBoer, obviously. I mean, he's shown he can coach and win. He's shown he can recruit, but he doesn't have yet. He doesn't have the contacts in the state of Alabama and in the South. He's got some guys on his staff that do.
Absolutely.
But he doesn't yet. And credit, tremendous credit to Hugh Freeze and the Auburn staff, taking advantage.
Yes.
I mean, while the opportunity's there, get in there. And if you can get in there and get ahead, then it's going to be tough. I don't think they're going to let up easily.
No, that's why it was so important to get so many 27, 26 kids, that the commitments, 28 kids to Big Cat, to get these in-state kids early, right? This is when they're making up their mind, you know, starting to form a
they're getting
about
impressions on this school and that school.
Yeah, so I'm almost at a loss for words thinking about I mean, Auburn recruiting has been tough to follow. It was impossible to report on with Brian Harsin.
Well, there wasn't anything to report.
And, you know, Gus had his moments and had some good teams, but it just was never quite good enough, right? And Tuberville recruited pretty well until Nick Saban showed up, and then it was over.
That's right.
Completely over.
You've always wondered what it would look like if someone was recruiting Auburn to its full potential,
right.
And it feels like that's what Hugh Freeze and his staff are doing over the last year and change.
I think in many ways, Auburn fans have kind of accepted mediocrity or just above mediocrity in recruiting and just figured that's the way it is. That's what it is for Auburn, and it's never really been that way. Auburn's always been a great destination, a great school to recruit to. They just need the right people in place.
We'd love for you to join in. Any questions or comments about Big Cat or you know, the start of practice, Auburn gets underway with its first practice on Thursday morning. Interesting to see they're going mornings, I guess. Take advantage of that before classes get started in a couple of weeks.
I think Hugh Freeze definitely prefers morning practices. He's talked about that before.
One of the reasons he can get some other things done after in the afternoon.
Like recruiting.
Yep, absolutely.
But I don't know that logistically that works once school starts. So it'll probably be I'm assuming it's going to flip back to afternoon, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine a situation where a big chunk of, especially with the first and second year students on this team, like the thought that you're going to have them available at 9:30 on weekdays feels far-fetched. You're probably going to have more of those students available.
Oh, no. Once classes start, no, it's definitely going to be early afternoon.
It'll be during our show probably once you get into to closer to game day. As it was in the spring,
right?
Those viewing windows in the spring were generally he'd try to get it to as early as possible once you get most of your kids done with class, which is probably somewhere in the 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock neighborhood. So that's to be expected once classes start.
I would think interviews will probably still be around lunchtime.
19th, first day of classes, I believe, for undergrads. So that I knew it was in that neighborhood of the 18th, 19th. So. That will be I guess that'll be the next date to watch.
Ooh, classes start on a Monday, huh?
I think so, yeah.
I'm not gonna miss that. All right. hour number two of the drive just getting underway, and the second hour of the show brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. You can be a part of the show by calling the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar, and that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Brian, I was thinking about this a little while ago. I think people are imagining what you guys are doing on Saturday while Big Cat's going on. Just describe a little bit of that. I mean, because there are folks wondering, are you getting to see everything that's going on? Or,
no.
You know.
Well, we sit in the lobby, usually a big group of us, especially for Big Cat. You know, we'll have, you know, everybody from your site over there to help cover it, because there's a lot of people, and a lot of them leave at
the
same time.
If there were just a half dozen players or even 15 or 20, you wouldn't need three or four people.
But you do for what they got. So there's a lot of people coming and going. You know, we saw them all leave for the scavenger hunt and come back. And, you know, we'll see them circulate around and stuff. But most of the stuff they actually do, the contest, the hanging out, the eating, fellowship, all that is done. I think it was done in the indoor or out on the practice fields in that area.
Right.
So, but, you can still pick up on a lot of things and talk to people and learn a lot of stuff just being over there.
It's cool. I mean, great, and there was great coverage. I mean, it was cool keeping up with things as the afternoon was moving on Saturday. There was plenty to keep up with. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline. Let's get to it. And Ken is up first. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Bill. You guys or talking about all of the signees, but you need to give us a list of all the signees, that their name and their position and where they're from, and that would be helpful to most of us who are unknowing.
Sure, be glad
about
to
the current list, the latest commitments,
the latest additions to the group.
Yes.
All right. Well, Auburn has picked up. On Saturday, they added.
Well, the class is up to 20, right?
Right.
They're now looking at 16. 20,
they had 16 commits going into the weekend.
20 class of 2025 commitments now, and that would, I mean, the ones that have joined the list over the weekend. You've got the punter, John Allen McGuire. He's the most recent addition, right?
Or Derek Smith is
the
most recent.
Derek Smith is okay.
He's an athlete from Selma, Alabama. Plays wide receiver and safety DB.
Yeah, from Southside High School.
Yeah, he's going to be a wide receiver at Auburn, at least for starting, to start out.
He had over 4,000, he's thus far, heading into his senior year. He's got he's got over 4,000 yards receiving, over 1,000 yards rushing, and he's got 21 interceptions and 16 sacks as a defensive back.
My goodness.
He's a great athlete.
I mean, maybe
and he's good size, 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah.
But he's –
That's the guy, McGuire.
That's the Derek Smith.
John that was
McGuire
Derek Smith.
Is a punter. He is from – he's from – where is he?
Golly.
That's Thompson. He's from Thompson High School. The athlete that they were just describing, that's the most recent addition, Derek Smith.
Derek Smith from Southside.
They've also landed – Antonio Coleman from Saraland. He was an Auburn commitment who backed off his commitment, committed to Alabama.
Well, he was a commitment to Alabama.
Okay.
Then he committed to Auburn. Then he committed to Alabama. Now he's recommitted to Auburn. Yeah. But Alabama had a cookout?
Champions
cookout. Yesterday. Everybody's tried to copy Big Cat, come up with something. Anyway, they had a lot of their top recruits in yesterday. But Antonio Coleman did not go. So I think that's a very good sign that maybe he's done flipping.
Yep.
But he's a big defensive lineman.
It would have been hilarious. Would have been hilarious if he decided to go to the Alabama cookout and still weigh his options the day after. The day after committing.
If he'd done that, it would have been
the day after committing to Auburn.
Riddance,
but he did not do that.
No,
but he's
he's about 6'2", 6'3", 285.
Top 100 player. I believe the 100th player in the 24/7. Rankings nationally, which still gets you in the top 100, even if you're ranked at exactly 100. Blake Woodby committed over the weekend. Blake Woodby is the he's out of Baltimore.
Yes.
He's a defensive back just outside the top 100. I think he's a top 125.
Well, according
player.
To Brian, on
Rivals, he's
on Rivals, he's the number four cornerback in the nation.
Yeah.
So
he is a Rivals 100 player also.
Yeah, and John Allen McGuire is the punter from Thompson.
Thompson.
Younger brother of Evan McGuire, who was a walk-on punter and kickoff guy for Auburn. And he's rated by Coles, they do a kicking camp, and they've rated kickers through the years. I believe he's ranked the number two kicker in the country. Number two punter. So that's great timing with Oscar Chapman heading into his senior year. I believe those are the additions for the 2025 class. They also got three commitments for 2026, Ken, and those are all three defensive guys. Hezekiah Harris is an edge from Jemison. He's what is his size? He's more in the 6'4", 230 so range, something like that. And then Shadarius Tootle.
6'5", 208 is what we got.
Okay.
Hezzy at.
All right. And then Shadarius Tootle is a linebacker from down in the
He's from Cottage Hill Christian Academy, Mobile.
Yeah.
6'3", 210 is what we got him. Outside linebacker. With that size, he's going to put on some weight. So he could grow into an edge. He could grow into a Mike. I think right now he's a Willie type linebacker, but he's got a lot of versatility.
He's
and
got
a
good,
lot of
good size there. And then Jermichael Garrett's from Gulf Shores, another linebacker.
6'2", 205. Another guy that's probably an outside linebacker, but we'll see how he develops and how he grows in the next couple of years. These three guys we just mentioned are all going into their junior season of high school.
Yeah, there's a good size for 16-year-olds, Ken.
Yeah.
Still
now, are these guys reporting to Auburn within a week?
No. We're talking about the class of 2025, right? So most of the guys that we're talking about
the first four we were talking about are heading into their senior seasons in high school.
So crucial.
They'll be able to sign in December.
Crucially, you said earlier in the call, they're not signees, they're commitments. Yeah. These are guys who committed to Auburn and are expected to sign before the end of the year. So Auburn, I believe, is mostly finished with the roster for the 2024 team.
Auburn had 2024 signees. 16 of them enrolled in January and went through spring practice. The other four came at the end of May. So the whole class has been here all summer.
And the four, we talked about two of them a while ago, Perry Thompson and
Malcolm Simmons.
And Malcolm Simmons, the receivers. Then you had DeAndre Carter, the big
lineman.
Offensive lineman. And I think Lane Gaines?
Yeah, Ahmad Lane Gaines,
defensive back,
got injured, but we saw him. I think we saw him Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. He looked like he was moving around pretty good. So, Yeah, all 20 of those guys are in school, mm-hmm. going through workouts, and going to start fall camp here on Thursday.
And what we'll really be looking for Thursday, I mean, obviously, we'll be watching, want to see how Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons look. But we'll probably be watching the transfers that have come in over the summer since the start of spring, because those are the guys that, other than a receiver, probably have a better chance of playing this fall.
Yes. Thank you for that report.
Oh, absolutely. No. Thanks for the call, Ken.
No, and I think Ken is speaking for a lot of the listenership there, where maybe they heard us referring to
these
guys. Assume
that everybody knows who we're talking about.
And it was and with so many names, it's not just one guy committed to Auburn over the last 4 days. We could say, oh, yeah, because we'd be talking a lot about just Antonio Coleman. If it was just Antonio Coleman
right.
committing to Auburn yeah. again. But instead, it's also Blake Woodby. And it's also you get McGuire in there, too. So I mean
these guys are big deals, every one of them. Yeah. I mean, these are not and here's a long shot or somebody that you're hoping could help you in a couple of years kind of guys.
No. These are – I mean, a lot of the guys they sign are instant impact type players, and some of these guys are, too. Antonio Coleman – he could play as a true freshman, absolutely. Blake Woodby could definitely step in and play as a true freshman at cornerback. Derek Smith, depending on Auburn's situation at wide receiver, could certainly step in and play.
Could take over as your punter.
Could be Auburn's starting punter next year, yep.
All right, we will get to our first break of hour number two. Plenty of time for you to join in as we continue here with the Monday Drive.
Thank you.
War Eagle Auburn family, it's time to join Aubie's Kids Club for this upcoming school year. Your favorite Tigers Kids Club memberships are on sale now. Presented by Chappie's
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. By this time tomorrow, the Major League Baseball trade deadline will have passed.
Ooh.
Will the Braves, and Brian was just asking us a while ago, will the Braves make a move? They got some good news today. Ronaldo Lopez MRI showed no structural damage. So he is day-to-day with forearm tightness. That is still not good. Braves did bounce back, won the last two against the Mets. It had really been a struggle for the Braves for a few games. I mean, they had fallen behind the Mets in the wild card race, but now winning the last two, they're up a game and a half once again over the Mets in the wild card. They're sort of fortunate. The Phillies haven't been playing great, but we'll see if there's some more. There have been quite a few deals already. Here in the first, in the days leading up to the trade deadline tomorrow at 5:00, and there were two or three deals yesterday. One deal today, a three-team deal that involved the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox.
Yeah, and we're gonna see some. I think we're gonna see some movement over the next. I mean, what deadline's tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna see some movement. I wonder how high profile, especially now that some teams have played their way back in a position. You know, we thought, could you see a Paul Goldschmidt or a Pete Alonso get dealt? And it feels unlikely.
No,
now.
Those teams now are buyers.
Yeah, that seems less likely. The Mets, in fact, went out and added Jesse Winker from the Nationals to put another bat in that lineup. Mets were. I don't know if it's still the case. Mets had leapt ahead of the Braves over the weekend.
They had. That's what I said. Until going after winning Thursday and Friday, they were ahead. But the Braves won Saturday and Sunday. But they're clearly in the wild card picture now. They're a game and a half back at the Braves for the top wild card spot.
Right. So the deal you just mentioned, former National, and one of these stories I love, where it's a guy who goes to Japan or Korea. To sort of fix things, especially pitchers, you know, who have to leave the country to prove themselves after a stint in the majors doesn't go all that well. Eric Fetty was a National who was then out of baseball, was pitching. I think
very pitched. Highly touted prospect when he came up with the Nationals.
Did he pitch in Korea struggled. Last year? Is that right?
I don't even know where he was last year.
Eric Fetty was very recently. Abroad as a professional baseball player, and now he's back pitching for. He was the White Sox for much of the season. Now he was on the NC Dinos of the KBO.
Okay, but I mean, he's pitched really well for the White Sox. He had an ERA of just over 3.
How about KBO League MVP last year, MVP of the Korean League, who is now...
Well, we've seen some guys come over and really play well from the KBO. So, I mean, the Cardinals, I think the Cardinals, it's amazing what the net that they got. They trade Tommy Edman, who is a very talented multi-position guy. As a matter of fact, I read that he is rated very highly defensively at every position he plays, and he plays second, short, third in the outfield.
It's an 8-player deal that gets sort of confusing because of the pieces going to various places. So the Cardinals get Eric Fetty
and Tommy Pham.
The Dodgers add Tommy Edman, who had was a Cardinal. And
they get Michael Kopech too, right?
And they get Michael Kopech. Miguel Vargas, one of 3 Dodger prospects going to Chicago, going to the White Sox in the deal, also a player to be named. The Dodgers give up a young right-hander who's going to be in the Cardinals organization, and they also Dodgers get a prospect from the Cardinals in the deal.
Yeah, so
17-year-old pitching prospect.
The Cardinals give up a 17-year-old pitching prospect and Tommy Edman to the Dodgers, and they get a starting pitcher and a starting outfielder from the White Sox.
And the Dodgers do address a couple of needs in Tommy Edman and Michael
Kopech. They needed some help in the middle infield with Mookie Betts
Although Lux has been very good of late.
Yes, but I mean, they still need another middle infielder because Miguel Rojas and Mookie Betts have been out, and they've had to go with Kiki Hernandez.
Ahmed just came back into baseball. Yeah, so I mean, the Dodgers adding to their major league team by dipping into the prospect pool. Probably not the last deal involving the Dodgers, right, that you would think between now
You'd be disappointed if it is.
Well, I mean, I do
as a Dodger fan, you'd be disappointed.
I wonder what else is maybe out there.
They keep talking about a massive deal and getting the Dodgers are used to getting just superstar names.
I mean, if someone else in the National League,
Tommy Edman's good, but
if someone else in the National League adds Crochet or Skubal, I think it would be pretty disappointing if the Dodgers just sat by.
The Braves may be in on Crochet.
Our old buddy.
That's the kind of deal that the Braves make where you don't hear anything, you haven't heard. Like you were talking about Hugh Freeze last year going in and snagging a couple of guys that you hadn't heard about. Anthopoulos' way of doing things is he keeps it quiet, and then bam, he's got somebody that other people were trying to get.
How many hours does he have left to bam, though?
He has 23 and a half hours.
Ooh, all right. Our
time.
Yeah. Our old pal Greg Olson did not, I don't want to misquote him or anything, but our pal Greg Olson was not too keen on the idea that Garrett Crochet wants a contract extension from any team that wants to add him for the playoff.
I love Greg. But that's the way it is now. I mean, that's just the way it is now. Every player is if they're not thinking it themselves, they're getting advice from their agents that you've got to protect yourself for the future, especially when you're a guy who had never thrown more than 54 innings in a season, and he's already – or maybe it was 84. He's already over 100 innings this year. So he's saying, hey, if you want me for the postseason this year – we need to renegotiate my contract and get another year on it.
And from
he's worried because you've seen pitchers that have done that have to have surgery and miss a year. So he's a youngster.
How catastrophic would an injury be too to Garrett Crochet's position right now? You think about
terrible
because he's still an arbitration guy.
Absolutely,
he's not. I think it's
is that the White Sox guy?
Yeah,
he's the White Sox.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal, just phenomenal this year. But it's his first year as a starter, and you have to be concerned that. Hey, if you keep throwing him and you expect to have him in the postseason, something bad could happen. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, fine, I'll accept a trade. That'll be just fine, but we need to add a year to my deal.
Smart.
I think that, hey, if I'm an owner, I'd add a year to this guy's right now because you're probably still getting him in a bargain as to what he's going to – what he's going to call for in a year or two.
I understand that it might bristle some people because the flip side of that, the other end of that sword would be, What if he doesn't get that deal? Would he sit himself out of a playoff series? Would he tell a team, I'm not going out there because you traded for me and you did not give me a contract extension? Like there is that.
Oh,
side
yeah,
of
I
it,
understand.
Which rubs people the wrong way and has folks wondering what kind of teammate, what kind of player, you know, is someone who would make that kind of demand. And I get that, but I also understand why a pitcher would say, look, it would cost me.
I mean,
life-changing money if I got hurt right now.
I don't know Garrett Crochet. I mean, if he's in that situation and he's healthy, he'll probably pitch. But this is just something to – while he has the advantage, while he's the name being dangled and people are talking about trading for him, this is his best opportunity to try to get another year onto his contract and get more than whatever he's getting as a young pre-arbitration major leaguer. All right, so it's going to be interesting to watch. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join in as we continue with the Monday Drive.
Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Monday drive with Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews from Auburn Sports. We've got Drew at the controls again. We'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise? All right, Brian, we talked a good bit about Big Cat. We can get back to it if anyone wants, but wanted to get your thoughts with practice getting started. You mentioned the receivers.
Yep.
What are you anxious to see, looking forward to checking out when we get the opportunity to watch some practice starting Thursday?
Several important things, and maybe not day one, but I want to see the offense start to come around by mid-fall camp to the end of fall camp. I want to see them winning some scrimmages, gaining confidence, making big plays, having success. I think they really held the team back last year. I think there are so many issues on that side of the ball, and you just – want to see with all the new pieces and especially have some confidence around Peyton Thorne. That's so important to this team going into this season. Position-wise, I want to see how the battle at safety and just defensive back overall works out. I think there's battles for starting spots, battles for backup spots, you know, just a lot of competition there with a lot of young guys with a chance to play.
There are more guys that we haven't seen play that are going to have an opportunity to play on defense, I think, than offense. Offensive, I mean, just the job that Auburn has done on the transfer portal, adding another 16 guys and quite a few of those not being able to go through the spring. I think on the defensive front, in addition to the back end, like you were saying, I want to see who else is battling there for the corner spots. I mean, with Todd or Scott now out. I think we've got an idea. It's Keontae Scott and Kay and Lee. Who are the other guys? Auburn's going to need more corners. I mean, Champ Anthony, I would assume, is going in as your third corner. Nickel. What do they call it? The strong corner or the slot corner is what they call it. But I mean, Auburn's going to need a couple of other guys that can play and cover in the corner spot, and that's where. And Antonio Kite and J.C. Hart and Jay Crawford and, you know, some guys. I'm probably leaving somebody out just off the top of my head. But, I mean, those guys, as well as locking down who the safeties are.
Yeah, I think Jay Crawford is a true freshman to really keep a close eye on, along with Kenzie Louder-Faustin.
That's right. I knew there was somebody I was leaving out.
And I think those are two guys that could contribute. I think Jaron Thompson's probably going to be one of the starting safeties.
You would think,
Texas. I think the other one is wide open. I guess Caleb Wooden coming out of spring.
I would give him the edge right now, just going in.
Sylvester Smith is in there. Laquan Robinson, the junior college transfer. I think spring was more of a learning thing for him, and we'll see what he can do now.
Yeah, he looked like he was definitely in that learning mode in the spring.
Caleb Harris is one of the biggest surprises from spring as a true freshman at safety. He could make a push. Then you got Terrence Love, a really talented big dude who maybe you could transition linebacker if safety doesn't work out. You got C.J. Johnson, another talented big guy that can has potential maybe to push there. So I think there's a lot of competition there. I'm also excited to see what Buck linebacker looks like. I think it's made tremendous strides from last year. You know, you got
heard some good things about Kieron Crawford. Yep,
I have too, and he's got an extra year of eligibility, which I think is great for that position. Jalen McCloud played so well last year, and now he's had a year in Auburn's strength and conditioning program. I think he's going to be a better player. And then you got two exciting freshmen there, Jamonte Waller and Joe Phillips.
Phillips is up to like 250 something.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah,
listed at 251 on the updated roster, mm-hmm. but probably bigger than that. I mean, he's going to keep on growing, right?
Yeah,
and he can run, so I'm excited to see what those guys can do.
Inside, I mean, is where you've got a bunch of upperclassmen that we haven't seen an awful lot of. I mean, we heard a good bit about Gage Keys and Trill Carter mm-hmm. in the spring, but they added a couple of more.
Philip Bleedy at D tackle, Isaiah Rakes at nose guard. Mm-hmm. So these are two more experienced veteran defensive linemen that are going to step in and be a part of the rotation. When we talked to Freeze earlier this summer, he talked about wanting to get those guys maybe 25 or so reps a game and not try to wear them down and let them rotate and be at their best when they do come into a game.
Yeah, so that's where you hope you have guys. You don't have a big fall off, yep. and you can do that. But the other thing is, if you get enough reps, you're building up some of those guys, and you don't have that big drop off. I mean, it's one of those situations where it's great to have some experienced guys like these, but you've also got some young guys, and if you can get them in there, then you have confidence in playing them later. That's yep. it's one of the things if you don't rotate on the defensive front, you run into a couple of problems. One, your guys are going to be gassed at the end of the ball game. Yep. And if you don't rotate those guys, then you don't have confidence in the other ones coming in when they have to.
Right. And you may need those guys later. And once we get into late October, November, guys like TJ Lindsey, Amaris Williams, Malik Blockton are all going to play D tackle or defensive end. And Amaris, I think, will play some buck too, possibly. And those guys, I think, are going to have a chance to play right away and be part of their rotation and be much better players by the time we get to December and really, really good players by the time we get to this time next year. I mean, really good players this time next year. So I'm excited to see them develop. I thought the defensive line class last year was outstanding. It looks like they're mm-hmm. going to bring another one, good one this year. At offensive line, I want to see what Percy Lewis looks like at left tackle. And maybe see if Tyler Johnson can push him. You know, maybe Tyler's just going to be the top backup at left tackle and right tackle this year, or maybe he's going to really push for that starting job. We'll see. But Percy Lewis has a ton of potential. Did he push himself in the offseason to firm up some areas and become a
dominant left tackle?
Yes, left tackle. Because he has that potential. So that'll be interesting to see. And the rest of the offensive line, I think, is pretty set. Jeremiah Wright's still going to have to win that job, I think, mm-hmm. at right guard. But he's going into.
Yeah, he's
going to.
I mean, Auburn's got a few guys that could really push him there at the guard.
They do. I think Tate Johnson could back up center and maybe both guards. Jade Muskrat started at least one game last year at guard. E.J. Harris is a young player. I think he's a sophomore now that mm-hmm. I think is coming on. And I think DeAndre Carter. I think he'll probably redshirt this year, but he is a young guy that I think is going to be a really good player for Auburn here in a couple of years.
Yeah, and then who was the other transfer they brought in? They brought in another O-line transfer.
They brought in Ronan Chambers.
Yes.
More of a right tackle. I think a guy just to have for depth's sake. You got two tall Xavier Miller over that right tackle. Seth Wilford was a junior college transfer. He'll just be a sophomore. I think he's a guy that's still developing.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a guy like Ronan who's played a lot of football over the past several years, who's got 1 year of eligibility left. That gives you a little experienced backup there at right tackle if you need him.
And then something, Dan, you mentioned this the other day, and there's no question that it's really going to be interesting. We probably won't know who is working there for the first couple of days as they're in shorts, but without Brian Battee, who are Auburn's kick returners? Who are Auburn's kickoff returners? I mean, they've got a lot of guys, a lot of candidates, I would think, But that's something that if you had Brian back, you'd know.
Yeah,
he's, you know, he's always going to be back there. But I mean, Auburn's got some guys. Is it going to be a running back or do you put some other, you know?
Well, Jarquez has certainly done it before. Jeremiah Cobb, I think he did last.
Yes,
year.
Yes, he did. He had about a 50-yarder one time.
Damari, has he returned kickoffs before?
He's been back. Okay. I don't know that he's had the opportunity to bring a few of them back.
And of course,
I mean, some of the young receivers or defensive backs, things like that. I wonder, you know, who's going to get a look there at kick return.
It feels easy to pick Jarquez and Keyonte just because they've been used on special teams as returners.
Well, Keyonte is a proven, he's gonna be a really good punt returner.
Right.
Lack of depth at cornerback, they got to be careful.
That's what I mean. I mean, Keyonte being your number one corner or, you know, one of your top two corners and also your primary punt returner, I wonder if they would also want to give him kick return duties.
No.
You've got Cobb and Alston, who I think would both be really interesting options at kick returner beyond Jarquez Hunter, depending on what you want to do with those two guys at running back. But I think they could both be really interesting options back there with Jarquez. I think all three of your running backs would be there. You wonder if look at your receivers, right? You think would Caleb Burton or Bryce Kane or
Sam Jackson is one of the faster players on the team.
Or Sam Jackson.
That's interesting.
Could they be options? Defensive backs who aren't in the starting lineup, you know, like, I don't know, Antonio Kite or J.C. Hart.
J.C. Hart's a guy with speed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Auburn has a scholarship defensive back they don't think of, right, as a guy with some, maybe not kick returner speed, right, when you get into the safeties and stuff, but maybe a Kite or a... would Champ Anthony slot in as a possibility there? I mean, that doesn't I don't know how much returning Champ Anthony did in year one, but I wonder about. I guess I mean, running backs and receivers would be, you know, your obvious candidates, but also, you know, maybe some of your defensive backs too beyond Keyonte. Kane Lee, I mean, I feel like both of your starting corners would be the guys you'd want to avoid,
right?
Using in those situations if you can.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. That's something we've just sort of, you know, don't think about that. I mean, I think Auburn's kicking game.
Do you see it as an opportunity to get a touch for Jarquez? Because I mean, I also wonder if you would think like, okay, well, this is if you're trying to figure out ways to get your different running back, touches, maybe using one of Jarquez or Cobb or Hunter.
Usually, not going to be the guy that's going to be on first down.
Probably not.
You know, usually your kick returner, if he's a running back, isn't going to be the guy that stays in for first.
Although I think they're going to rotate running back, so maybe you know, you could still work it that way.
Hasn't Jarquez done some work as kick returner before while also being the starting running back, though?
He was playing
kick coverage, right? It's like, you're the starting running back. Why are you on kick coverage?
Well, kick coverage, you're not going to get the ball on the next play.
Still,
unless you force a fumble.
Go really well.
But you don't. But usually you don't see running.
Or really bad. unless they take it all the way to the house.
Usually you don't see running backs touching the ball a lot, also going out there and being part of the kick coverage team. But Jarquez is doing that. So, yeah, I would immediately. His name's the one that comes to mind.
Yeah, so that will be interesting to see. But it'll be a few days before we see them. But I'm just looking forward to being able to watch some, and it's hard to believe that we're 3 days away from the start of practice. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Monday Drive.
This is Lee County Revenue Commission.